know that you can do it. It's always good experience when you actually do it. I think Brandy did it last time. Did a good job. Wasn't too hard, was it? No. So I think we can do it again. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is where we're going to start. Just to start off here, talking about how to study the Bible. Again, Paul alludes to it a little bit here. In verse 1 of chapter 2, he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, saveth the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." So again, just reminding us that as we're studying the Bible and learning how, we want to compare spiritual things with spiritual. And of course, first you need the Spirit of God to understand that. But then you look in the Bible, you want to find out what the Bible teaches, not in one verse, but as many places as you can go to have understanding of that verse. Context is always the most important place, right? So don't ever forget that. So what we're going to do, let's see here. Let me just go over this. This is not on the slide. It's on the slide previous, but talking about how to use a Strong's Concordance. We use the concordance to find verses, okay? So when we're looking up things, we can use certain words. If we're searching for a particular verse, we can choose a word that is unique. You don't want to choose a word that's common. If you choose a common word, what's going to happen if you use the concordance? What? That's right. It'll be a lot of references, so you'll have to look. Now, it's not that hard when you look at the concordance. Some words are real hard, but I mean, because it has so many, but most of them you'll see on a page or something, so you'll be able to go down and scan the verse. But if you know a word that's not used as often, such as we mentioned last time, delight, then you can go to that, and there's only a few verses there that you can pick that that have that word in it, you can pick it up. And I think that was the example. We want to use the concordance to study the meaning of words. It's really whenever we're studying the Bible, just reading the Bible, that gives us an idea of what it's talking about. But if we really want to understand God's Word, we need to know the words. We need to know what the words mean. There are a lot of words in the Bible that are not common to us today. Now, we as Christians who read the Bible a lot, they have become common. But for the common person, they wouldn't be. They'd read that, and they would read something else into it or take it literally as today's language, which is not. Like, you can take, for instance, the word gay, for instance. Not that I want to choose that word, but that word means something different than it meant when I was growing up. Okay, just like conversation in the Bible means something different when they wrote it or translated it than it does today. So that's important to look up words and look at the Greek. So we use concordance to do that. So let's go ahead and try to do that. We got some examples, and I think I have enough for quite a few that want to try this. Grace in Ephesians 2:8. You can stay in your seat if you like to, but would someone volunteer to look up the word grace? Wait a second, Henry. Okay, take the. Will you take it to your dad? Take this to your dad. It's just like a dictionary in the first part. You look up the word grace. And then once you find the word grace, you find Ephesians chapter 2. What'd you say? Thank you, my son. Okay. We're going to have to let Henry do one of these too. But you already? Okay, go ahead. So he's looking up the word grace, and he's going to find Strong's number on that. He's going to find, and then we'll go find out what that means. So in the first part of concordance, you're looking up, just like a dictionary, words, and you'll have verses associated to that. And the back part of the Strong's concordance, the Hebrew and Greek, will tell you what that word, how to pronounce that word, what that word is in the Greek, also tell you what it means, and it'll give you all the ways it's used in the Bible, okay, or translated in the Bible. I think that's what I just said. Okay. Did you find it?
Yeah.
Okay. What number is it?
545.
Okay. What? How do you pronounce it?
Charis.
Okay. That's the Greek word, charis. And so what does it tell you it means? Huh? Well, that's the way you pronounce it in English. I don't know how the Greeks pronounce it. Probably. It's a Greek word pronounced the graciousness. What else? I already got ahead of you. Okay, all those things you just said are how it's translated. The latter part. You see where you see the colon? Not a semicolon, but when you see the colon, after that, those are the words that it's translated into. So that word charis could be translated as acceptable, benefit, favor, grace, gift, joy, I think. Isn't that right? I think that's right. Yeah, that's right. Okay, so in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, can you go ahead and turn your Bible there and read that for us? Rob's doing a Bible study on the word grace in Ephesians 2, 8, 9. Okay, so what word, or what do you think that means in that verse? Grace. Yeah, well, this is your study. Huh? Right, but for the grace of God, what is it? For by faith are you saved through grace, and not of yourselves. It is a gift. That's what it means. Gift. Grace means gift of God. Not of works, right? So it's talking about that it is a gift. And that's kind of what it's trying to help us to understand. In the context, grace means that salvation, not of works, that it is a gift. By checking the context, the Bible student is able to test the lexicons. Well, we haven't got there yet. Those are just somebody takes a language, he's not dependent upon scholars, but can test any man's definition of the Bible itself. That's what a lexicon is, it's definitions. Let's see if I got it up here, I might not. Then he talks about, for example, in this case we learn there are two different usages of grace. And there's grace for salvation, and someone turned to Ephesians chapter 3. Okay, Henry, I'm going to let you do that. Verse 7 and 8. His blood runs so much faster. Do you see it pump that hand up like that? Mine goes like this. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8.
Mm-hmm.
Unto me, did you say that?
Unto me, who am less than the least of the saints, this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ.
Okay, so we had grace for salvation, but this is also grace to be able to minister. Did we get there? Maybe it's on here. Thank you. It's on that last slide. Let me go find it. It's on the bottom, huh? Oh, there it is. Grace for Christian service. So that's what he said in that verse. He says, whereof I am made a minister according to the gift of grace. So that word grace pertains to the fact that he had grace to minister to other people. So again, as you're looking at words and you're trying to find out what they mean, you can find out what the word means, but in context, you can find out what he's talking about. So he has grace for salvation, and he's talking about grace to do Christian service as well. We need that grace all the time, do we not? Sure. So, okay, someone else volunteer. Someone else volunteer. Someone, I want some adults to volunteer. Lynn, thank you. And look up the word hope. I hope you can too. First part's just like a dictionary. Oh, that's not good. And we're looking for Hebrews chapter 6. You know, a lot of times you read that word hope, and if you think about it, that doesn't give you any security. Hope is just, I hope things turn out all right. But the Bible definition for hope is different in this particular case, and that's why it's important to look those up, because it's real easy to say, you know, trust and hope, are they the same thing? Well, in the context of the English language, not necessarily true, because you could be hoping for something and not trusting. But this word means something different. Hebrews chapter 6, I think it's verse 17, but or 18, maybe 18. And on the right of it, it'll show you a number, and that's the Greek Strong's Concordance number. Okay, what's the number? Yeah, for Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. Yeah, because hope could be translated different ways. Eighteen? Yeah. Did you tell me the number? Oh. Oh, good. Now, if you turn all the way back to the back to the Greek lexicon back there, you'll see, or Strong's Concordance, you'll see that number. You have to find that number in the Greek. Okay. Yeah, probably didn't have the exhaust it, though. 1680. Okay, I'm not a Greek scholar, so our... Okay. Did you say anticipation or expectation? Okay. Okay, well, I could have said that. I don't know. I could be wrong here. Expectation. So expectation is something you expect to happen. And then, of course, the other was our confidence. In other words, this word hope means you have confidence in it. It's not just maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. And that's a little bit different. That's why you look up these words. How is it translated? Faith and hope. That's it. So when you look up in the New Testament, you can find, if you look at the word faith, you might find this word here, this Greek word. or hope, okay? And that's what's important about studying the Bible, is you can go through the different passages and find out what other places it's given and how it's used. So really, if you look at this, it's based on God's promise, and it's really it's a strong consolation. In verse 18, let me read Hebrews 6, 17 through 19, says, wherein God willingly more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. This is God confirming an oath to those that have put their faith and trust in Christ, that by two immutable things, so that word immutable means things that cannot change, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. He says, which hope? And that's in italicized, so that's not even in the translation at all. We have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enter into that within the veil. So he's just saying that we have a sure and steadfast, we have an anchor. We know that when we put our faith and trust in Christ, that is settled. It is done. It is finished. It's a trust. It's a confidence that I know I'm saved and born again and I'm a child of God. So again, you see the importance there. All right, somebody else. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Was it in the concordance there?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. What number does it give? Does it give 1680? Yeah. Because that hope is inferred from the other hope, because it's not in the actual translation. If you look it up in the concordance on the computer, we'll show you that in a minute. You'll go to that word, and that word won't really have a Greek meaning to it because it's not in the Greek text. Okay. All right. Somebody want to try one? Yeah. Okay. Josh, look up sober. Yeah. 1 Peter 5:8 is the verse. The word we want to see. Five, eight, yeah. They give you a number for that? Yeah. Okay, so it's translated as what? Okay, that's the meaning. And the other one is figuratively to what? Be discreet. And then that's the translation, okay? So if you see the word watch in there, it could be this Greek word, okay? So what is he saying there? He's saying, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour, is the verse. And so that word there is talking about being discreet, or in the sense of abstaining from wine, the sense is to be vigilant and to be on guard, not to let your guard down. And that's what that's how he's translating that. Somebody else look up simple. Who would like to do that? Nobody likes to do it? I know you young people want to do this. I'll let you do it in a minute. Wait a second. Mike, you want to look up word? No? Nobody else wants to help out? Matt, try it out. Yeah. You're looking up the word simple. And you're looking for Romans 16, 18. So what's the number for the, is that the New Testament number? Or is there just one, well, for Romans 6, 18? Yeah, okay. Huh? Yeah, I got 172 too. That's why I'm not sure. 172.
Old Testament 16.
Yeah, it's a Romans 6:18. Yeah, so we look up the word and then we pick the verse. Yep.
That's not the right verse.
Right. See, no, you got to look at the exact verse. That's okay. That's what we're trying to do, is learn how to do it. Right. Okay. Well. You deal with that when you get home, brother. She might have had a real easy one last week or something. Or last time. Well, it's got an AK with a apostrophe, and then it's got a space AK-OS. Ak-ak-us. I don't know. Okay, what's it mean? Yeah, Greeks in the back. That's why we're putting hands on, so we can get at least some experience with it. And then after we learn that, we can throw the book away and work on our computers. Whole lot easier. What did it come out to be? I got not bad, innocent, unsuspecting. Okay. Okay, so it's translated what? Harmless, simple. That's the translation. There's a colon. Whenever you see the colon, then the translation's after it. Before the colon, you might have semicolons and all that. Those are the meanings. Okay? So you're going to get the meaning first and then the translation. And the translation is, it's translated to English word from that Greek word in the Bible, in the New Testament. So if you happen to run across harmless or simple, it may be this New Testament Greek word, akos, okay? And that's kind of what it's telling us. So the context of that, if we look at the verse again, let me just read the verse. Romans 6:18 says, "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." So what does that mean? These people are deceiving the hearts of who? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. The translation, actually what it means is not bad, innocent, or unsuspecting. So they deceive those that are innocent or unsuspecting. Okay? That's what it means. So when you look at that, the simple, that's what you... In the Old Testament, which Matt was heading to, that word actually means silly. Okay, it's a different meaning. So just because you find something in the Old Testament, it may not mean the same as the New Testament. That's why you look at the words and you do the word study, so you'll be able to do that. All right, somebody else like to try it? Okay, Henry. Look up the word beray. Beway. Beray. Yeah, it's in the book there. And we're looking at Proverbs is where we want to find it. Proverbs 29. Okay. Did you find it? We're looking for Proverbs 29. Yeah. Okay.
1540.
Oh, let's see. Let's see.
I'm saying 16:3.
Yeah, that's right. Let's see here. Between, so that's the only place it has it, huh?
You should be Proverbs 29:24.
That's a Berayeth. 29:24. Okay, well, we'll go there, but what's it say there? And Berayeth it not. Okay.
71:21. Nope, we're down. 50:46.
Okay, so.
Is it properly in the New or Old Testament?
Yeah, so that's going to be a Hebrew word. Yeah, so look up that word. Okay, what's that say?
Maggid.
Yeah, very good. That's primitive, proper, and
proper,
by implication.
By implication, to manifest.
To announce.
To announce.
Expose.
Predict. Explain. Praise.
Okay, see, there's a colon.
Mm-hmm.
It says beray times, and so then it gives you a lot of things that it might be translated as. Beray is one of those. It could have been, and that's the way it was. Okay, and so then it says messenger, plainly.
Certify, denounce, expound.
Expound, yeah. Okay, so those are how it's translated. Very good. So that word, beray or berayeth, yeah. What's it? Beray or berayeth? Let's just look it up. Yeah, I was going to do that in a second. See, I went into search in the search window here. Let me just explain this a little bit before we get started. Go ahead and hit enter there. This is set up in four quadrants. The first quadrant over here is going to be whenever I search a word, it's going to pop up there. And this first quadrant right here is small. Let's see here if I can grab it real quick. See that quadrant there I just moved? This is classic. If you go up to the box where it has the four windows like that, you hit that, it'll throw you in this classic mode. You can change that if you want to once you get used to doing whatever. I always use this because it has everything I need. It has a search box, which is in top left, top right. I can pull from any of these publications here. Also, when I pick the Greek word or a Hebrew word, it'll pop it down here, give me the definition, all that. And then this over here, it goes through Treasury Scripture Knowledge is what I use mostly here, but you can use all these commentaries here on the bottom as well. The top one is the Bible. Okay? So, we looked up... Do what? That's correct. You scroll. Yeah. And right here it tells you how many verses are. You see right there it says three matches and three verses. So you hear me sometimes say this is used 20 times in the New Testament. Right there it comes from there. Okay. But you could do that in the concordance too. You can count, what'd you say? You can count all of them, which I don't have to do that. And if you count them, this here is going to give you everything from in the Old Testament and New Testament. Unless you choose. I'm probably getting in more of this than I was going to want to, but for instance, if you wanted to choose a search, you pop this box up. Do you see that box there with the Bible looking open with the search? You see that on the screen? Right up here?
Oh, well, you just clicked on. Gotcha.
You see that right there? Everybody following along? Okay. Well, that's a search box. And in that search box, I can type in Bereith. It's already there. And I can go down through that. And I can find verses with all the words specified. Maybe I'm looking up a phrase. And I want all those words specified. It could be God the Lord is the way I type it in. And it will give you every verse that has God and Lord in it. Not in that order. Okay, because I didn't specify the order. Just the verses. And find verses. The second one, it says find verses with any of the words specified. So if I just had God the Lord, then it would find all the verses with God in it, all the verses with Lord in it, and all the verses with thee in it. Okay? I don't ever use that. But anyway, here you can find verses with the exact phrase. So if you're looking for an exact phrase, be careful for nothing. You type that in, it's going to bring up one passage probably. Okay? And then the next one down here at the bottom says, find verses matching the Boolean expression specified, which I don't have a Boolean expression up there specified. And that could be the way the word is. Maybe it's a italicized word hope or something like that if I'm looking for that specific. But then you have search options down here at the bottom. You can match the case, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. So you only get that those verses up instead of all the Lord's, okay? And so you can go find all words, forms, English stemming. Which I don't use, words of Christ only, the ones that he literally spoke while he was on the earth, okay? And you can introduce footnotes in your search if there are any footnotes in there. So when you do that, you can go down to search range, all, which is the way this defaults, okay? When you type it into the regular search box up here, Bereith, it defaults to Genesis through Revelation. All the books, okay? But you can choose the Old Testament. You can choose the New Testament. You can choose the book that you want to search. You can pick whatever book you want to search in. A lot of times I'll looking for a specific word in a specific book. Sometimes I'm looking for a specific chapter. You can customize it. And you can pick church history. You can pick different things there. Let's see here. I do this. Let me see. You can do the manually enter search. Okay? So you can choose your search. You could actually choose between verses and that. So that's for searching. Okay? Most of the time, I use the general search unless I know where I'm looking for. If I'm looking for this word Bereith and I want to search it out how it's used in all the passages, what am I doing? Cancel. I should have said okay, huh? All right, so here Bereith is in three verses, Proverbs 27:16, Proverbs 29:24, and Matthew 26:73. Now, are the translations the same in the first two verses and the third one, you think? You understand what I'm asking? That's right. So there are two different languages here. But they could be, hypothetically. But let's look and see. So if I go over here, under King James. This is the search box. I got mine set up where this is the only thing I see. I don't see any other Bible versions but what's on here. You can see all of it, or you can set your tabs up however you want to. I'll show you how to do that later. It's under preferences in the under file, I believe. So, but here I go down to KJVSL. That's going to give me the Hebrew and the Greek translations. Okay? So I just looked up the word bereth. I found out Proverbs 20, whatever it was I was looking for that Henry did. Right here it is. And right here I see, I can tell you right there, that's exactly what was in the Strong's Concordance that Henry saw. I can click on that. And when I do, sorry, this window's so... grab it here somewhere. It popped it right down here in this box. And there's the word. I'm scrolling through it, but that's the same thing you saw when I highlighted the Hebrew word right here. Anybody have any questions right quick about that? The box that's behind the screen. Oh, you're talking about the tabs? Okay, these are different books by authors or different things, okay? That you, once you start getting into it and learn it, you'll find out all these different things you have. This is history that you can follow. These are Thompson's chain sermons. There's I got Way of Life Encyclopedia here. I got the Webster's Dictionary. A lot of this I don't use as much. Martyrs, Fox's Book of Martyrs is on here. So you can look up a lot of things on here and do a lot of things with it. It's got all those things over there on the right side. Those are commentaries, okay? Different commentaries and stuff. TSK is the Treasury of Scriptural Knowledge. We'll talk about next week a little bit. Here you just pop up the verse. Proverbs 27:17 is the one it's showing here. And it shows you all those words or all those other verses that have a reference to this verse, okay? And that's helpful when you're comparing Scripture with Scripture. That's Treasury Scripture Knowledge. So, do you understand how we just did this versus doing the concordance? Does it make sense? A little bit. It's going to take time. To learn this program, you need to spend time with it like anything else, okay? But once you get started, you'll find out it really is, it's easy to use compared to that book and all the other books you got to have as well. Okay? So, this will point out the very things that Henry and others have already done for us. So if I click on this verse, it's going to throw it over here in context. Okay? So that's Proverbs 29:24 there. And, right here, you can choose whatever book you want to look at. Say, for instance, Genesis. You can choose whatever chapter you want to look at. 37, for instance. And then the verses, you scroll down to them. To whatever verse you want to look at. Okay? And these are commentaries over here. These, whatever's listed over here, this person has said something about this verse. Not all commentaries will have something said about this verse, okay? Just so that'll help you a little bit. So if you're looking at this verse, also what you can do with this, which is very nice, I like it anyway, is especially if you're trying to learn words. Okay, Alexander Scorby, who is who I have loaded on mine. Originally, that's the only one you could load. Now I think there's like 8 of them that you can load that are different. I don't even know anything about the other ones, but this is one I listen to. So you can actually pronunciation, or you want to pronounce a word? He'll tell you the way he does it, which is pretty good. But actually, it helps, too, reading. You're tired, and you don't want to read. Where does faith come by? Hearing the Word of God, right? So there's nothing wrong with listening to the Word of God. If you got time, you're riding in your car or something, you got it on your phone or somewhere like that, plug it in, listen to it. You may not concentrate on it all the time, but it's going to be going in your mind and it's going to help. It's, again, hearing. Okay. And then again, this next window down here, like if I click on a verse here where the star is, it's going to go Treasury Scripture Knowledge, boom, and it's going to pull up that verse, and it's going to pull up verses that reference those words in the verse. So you can go down through some of the words. And the word there is also the phrase. Which verse did I click on? And yet he dreamed another dream. Okay, that's that phrase, yet he dreamed another dream. And it's referencing that to other verses that you can go, for instance, Genesis 37:7, which is the verse above it. And behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to the sheaf. So he's telling the dream. Okay, that's a reference to that dream he's talking about. And there are a lot of other places it'll take you. Genesis 41. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one, again, that dream that he had, that Pharaoh had, and Joseph interpreted it. So this helps you when you're studying the Bible. You can go to these different verses in the Bible. Okay. All right. So let me get out of this. Go back here. And let's go ahead and finish this out now. Okay, I'm going to run through these real quick. Get us back to the finish here. So can anybody see the value of using the Strong's Concordance? Does anybody have one? Got one? You got one? Jim's got one? Huh? There you go. That's, you can have it lots of ways, right? Again, like take no thought, if you look it up in Matthew 25 or 6:25, where he's talking about take no thought for tomorrow. That refers to being full of worldly care in the manner of unsaved people. Don't think, you don't have to think about those things. You don't have to be like them and worry about everything, to be anxious, if you will. Okay, this is one Henry looked up. Let's see what else we have here. If there's anything. Mystery, for instance. In Matthew chapter 13, 10 through 11, this is the verse, and it says, the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. So if you look up the word, and you come with Strong's Concordance, you'll get 3466, muste rion, okay? And it gives you the derivative of to shut the mouth, a secret or mystery. And then it gives you in parentheses, through the idea of silence imposed by initiation into religious rites. It's translated mystery. That's the only way that word is translated. Context tells us that a mystery is something that was not revealed in the Old Testament. The mystery of the gospel was not revealed in the Old Testament, right? So again, this helps us study, helps us to learn, understand what the Word of God is trying to teach us. All right, let's see here. I think I'm about done. 11. Okay, we'll do this one. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. In Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 is the kingdom parables. When you go study those, that's wheat and the tares, the sower, the pearl, the treasure. Trying to think what else was in there. And obviously this one, leaven. It means leaven, okay? And the word is ferment, as if boiling up. That's what leaven does. It ferments. It boils up, okay? So the context, we see Jesus using parables to teach them about mystery of kingdom. You can see that in verse 11 where it began. And it refers to this present time during which the king has gone away to heaven and evil is allowed to proceed in the world. That's what leaven is, a type of sin, okay? The parable of the sower teaches this. So does the parable of man sowing in his field. Thus we see the context that leaven in this parable must refer to evil that the enemy sows in the midst of God's work. And so where he said here, the kingdom of heaven is likened to leaven, which a woman took and hid three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. She leavened that lump. Okay? And that means she sowed evil into that lump. And there are other verses you can look at to see those things. Okay, I'm going to just shoot on down through here. He gave a bunch. You got them in your book. You can go ahead and read those. Rock, we know about the different words for rock. Peter was a rock, or he told him he was a rock. It's not the same word that he said he'd build this his church on this rock, which is Jesus Christ. Spirit, okay. What time is it? Yeah, we're going to wrap up here. All right, anybody have any questions? About concordances. Do what? Randy, got a question? That was on my computer. Sorry about that. I should have turned the volume off. You wouldn't have heard it. Let me show you real quick what we got here. Now, Sword Searcher has to run on a DOS machine, okay? A Windows. It won't run on Mac unless you get some extra stuff like Parallels and Windows. I have Windows and Parallels on my Mac, so that's why I used it when I had a Dell, and I liked it so much I kept it. So if you go to File, Preferences, and Settings, and then under the tab, let's see here. Where is it at here? Visible Tabs. Oh, good. I turned the machine off. It's going to help a lot, isn't it? All right. Well, let me go ahead and look this up while you're doing that. Find some of these translations that they have. Now, they don't carry all the translations that you might think of. They have the ASV, American Standard Version. They got a Chinese, they got a Danish, Darby's version, Finnish. They got the KJV 2000, which I don't even, haven't even investigated, don't know anything about it. Let's see here. And they got a lot of, they got Spanish versions or whatnot. So, I just popped up and clicked on mine, the American Standard. Let's see here. Can you see that? Okay, well, you can't because I'm in the way. And let's say okay. So, here's American Standard now. So, there you go. It compares American Standard with the King James side by side. And you're talking about concordance numbers? Yeah. No, that's right. Yeah. Okay, let me see here. Yeah, you can do that. So you're not talking about a different version. Okay, well, no, that's fine. Okay, like, yeah, so let me, here's Bereath, okay? And if I go down here, and right here, it is going to tell me all the definitions and all that stuff that we talked about in the concordance. Now, if I click on the search for 7121, okay? That's the Hebrew word. If I click on that, it gives me all the verses that that Hebrew word is in there, with different words that it's used or translated as. Every verse. The words itself. Well, that's what the translation tells you. It tells you all those words. It doesn't tell you the verses until you click on it, and then it shows you all the verses. So if I was to look at this, that word is 700, it's used or matches 736 matches and 688 verses. So 688 verses in the Old Testament, that particular word is used, and it's not necessarily translated as the same word, because however many words, let me go back to this bottom one. See, look at all these things it's translated as. If you look after this colon right here, you see that? Everything behind that's a translation. Yeah, exactly. Does everybody understand that? What he was asking. So right there, I clicked on the word itself, the Hebrew word, and it gave me all the verses in the Old Testament, because it's the Old Testament word that it's used. Exactly. Exactly. That's right. And especially if you're doing a topical study, if you were studying the word hell or something, you would want to do that, and you would want to try to look at all the verses that were translated from that word hell, which could be, there's Hades, Tartarus, Sheol. I'm trying to think. I think there's another one too. Four or five different words, Old Testament, New Testament. You want to go look at the verses and see what its meaning is and how to understand it in context. So that's why this is so nice. If we're learning to study the Bible, now I'm not saying everybody has to get this detail with it, but if you're serious and you want to find out things more than just the surface, you about have to do this to some degree. You have to make an effort to go and look things up and try to find out, what does that mean? What is God trying to teach me? Because otherwise, it's easy to read or listen to the preacher and see what the preacher says, but he's not going to tell you everything. And sometimes he won't tell you right. Guilty. But the fact is, the Word of God will. And he's given you something special that you can do this. You haven't been to Bible college, but you have the Holy Spirit. Okay? And that's what Bible college, we didn't do a lot of this. I mean, you did some of this, just like we're doing here. But they taught us, and we went through and read the books of the Bible. Basically, that's what they do in Bible college, is you go through every book in the Bible, you learn about it, and they teach you those things, but we don't do all these word studies, unless you're doing papers and things like that. That's where you get the more in-depth study. And so you can do that as well, okay? Anybody else have any questions? That's a good question. Now, if you want this program, if you don't have it, it costs $60. It's not that expensive, but if there are five people or three people who want to get it, we can get a pack for $150, and that's $30 a disc. Okay? You can actually go online and download it, but I wouldn't, because it might be less downloaded. I don't know. But I like the program. The one drawback with this program is they have updates, and the updates cost you $24 or $25. But you don't have to get the updates. I just got this update because everybody that has this disc has this version, and I want to make sure I had the same version I'm sharing with you. Otherwise, I wouldn't have got an update. He just adds more books to it, different things to it, different features. I've had it for 14 years, and I can't even remember the version when I started using it, when Brother Fielder showed me this Bible program first off. But that's just one of the drawbacks if you try to keep up with it and you feel like you have to. I don't think you have to, because it's got enough here for the layperson to just start digging in. There's more on here than I've used and probably will use. Okay? But there are a lot of other Bible programs too. All right. Any other questions? Okay. And we'll probably go over this in more detail before we get done with this class. All right. Let's go ahead and stand, and we'll have a word of prayer. All right. Kirk, why don't you go ahead and pray for us? Amen. All right. Got it back.